Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. مساء الخير مستمعينا الكرام، أهلا ومرحبا بكم مجددا في برنامجكم الأسبوعي بالعربي. مستمعينا الكرام، أنتم تستمعون إلينا أو إلى هذا البرنامج عبر إذاعة شيفيلد لايف 93.2 FM. معنا اليوم في الاستوديو كل من ضيفي الحلقة الأستاذ مازن مساعد وقمر خان. أهلا ومرحبا بكم ضيفي الكرام. هاي and welcome. مستمعين الكرام، معظم المحاور الحلقة سوف تكون باللغة الإنجليزية، وإذا سألتم لماذا فالجواب هو لأن الحلقة هي موجهة لأبنائنا الشباب بدرجة أساسية، وكذلك لأولياء الأمور، ولكن للشباب هم التارجتد، يعني المستهدفين في هذه الحلقة. ووجدنا بالتجربة أن التخاطب معهم باللغة العربية لم يؤتي أكله، يعني لم يفيد كثيرا، فأتينا إليهم الآن من باب اللغة الإنجليزية لنتخاطب معهم. في حال أن الشباب أو أبنائكم لم يستمعوا إلى الحلقة، نتمنى أن تذهبوا إلى موقع الحلقة يعني في وقت لاحق، وتدفعوهم للاستماع إلى الحلقة إن كان ذلك ممكنا. وللوصول إلى المادة يمكنكم الدخول عبر الموقع www.sheffieldlife.org، ثم تبحثوا عن برنامج 60 دقيقة بالعربي، يمكنكم كتابته حتى بالحروف الإنجليزية 60 S-I-T-E-E-N بالعربي B-E-A-R-B-I 60 دقيقة بالعربي. ربما أنا أكون قد أخطأت في السبيلينج في الحروف وهكذا، لأني حسب التذكر. عموما سهل جدا أن تحصلوا على الحلقة، على المادة وهي مسجلة. الحلقة عادة تسجل أو تبث إلى البودكاست بعد 30 دقيقة من انتهائها. عندما ننتهي، نحن سننتهي حدود الساعة 8 مساء، بعد ذلك بنصف ساعة يمكنكم أن تحصلوا على الحلقة مسجلة. مستمعين الكرام، عنوان الحلقة هو الشباب المسلم، امتلاك زمام المستقبل واستغلال الإمكانيات. كما قلنا هي محورين أساسيين سيقدمهما كل من السيد قمر خان والسيد مازن مساعد. أهلا مجددا، نرحب بكم في الحلقة ونرجو أن تستمتعوا معنا بالحلقة وكذلك أن تستفيدوا مما في الحلقة. طيب، دعونا الآن نذهب للتعرف على ضيفي الحلقة. نبدأ بالأستاذ مازن. مازن، would you please introduce yourself to the listeners, please?
Thank you so much for the invitation. أول أبدأ أرحب بالعربية ممكن. شكرا جزيلا على استضافتكم، هذا شرف ومسؤولية كبيرة. وصراحة المواضيع التي تغطون مواضيع مهمة جدا وتلامس المجتمع المسلم هنا في بريطانيا، ونتمنى إن شاء الله أن تكون ذو فائدة. So again, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. This is really exciting. The content that you put out there is very useful to the community and very helpful, and I'm really proud and glad to be part of this. My name is Mazen Musaid, and the Arabic pronunciation is Mazen Musaad. I'm a resident here in Sheffield. I grew up in Saudi Arabia, in Medina.
finished high school in Medina and then moved to the UK where I finished my education and joined here with my family. I graduated from Hallam University doing international business with Spanish. Currently, I'm finishing my master's in sustainable business development at the University of Leeds. And I'm a researcher at the University of Sheffield in renewable energy commercialization, working on a renewable energy venture.
Shukran. And Mr. Qamar Khan, would you please introduce yourself?
JazakAllah, assalamu alaikum. Arabia, I'm going to do Urdu, English. JazakAllah khair for the invitation. And again, as Mazen said, I really appreciate being here. My name is Qamar. I'm a South Yorkshire boy. Born in Rotherham, studied in South Yorkshire, University of Sheffield. And my background is engineering. I'm an engineer by background. And I've had many years of experience of different various roles ranging from design to project management to now I'm in sales and business development. And my role now, my last role was in renewable energy. That's where I met Mazen. That's where our relationship, we built our friendship. And I've come from now more in the business development side of things and working on innovation, which means people with great ideas, great inventions, and supporting them to go further and taking their ideas from university all the way to commercial, making money and beyond. So, yeah, mashallah, I'm very lucky to have been able to be an engineer in various companies as well throughout Europe and traveled extensively as well.
طيب الآن نسمح لكم إذا سمحتم يعني ترتبوا أنتم العملية في البداية يمكنك أن توجه سؤال أو تروا الطريقة المناسبة للبدء في شرح ما أتيتم من أجله أخذين بالاعتبار أن لدينا سؤال أولي هكذا عشان يكون هو افتتاح موضوع تطوير الذات للشباب هل هو ضرورة أم شيء من الرفاهية يعني مسألة تطوير الذات للشباب ممكن أن تتبادلوا السؤال باللغة الإنجليزية ونرجو أن تكون الإجابة باللغة الإنجليزية إذا سمحتم شكرا
جزاك الله ألف خير so yeah we plan to have this more conversational so we can have that discussion it's a friendly room we know each other and we want to speak of heart to heart and hopefully that could resonate with the listeners we will do it in English so it could resonate more with the youth here in the UK and to the listeners and have a stronger impression on them inshallah this is a build up or a follow up from a session that we had in Fatima Community Center, Masjid Fatima in Sheffield, where myself, Brother Qamar, and Brother Aidarus, Muhammad Aidarus, gave sessions to the youth in the mosque about how can you think about the future and also start planting your seeds now while you are young. So how can you plan your future early on? And as you said, you gave a really good starter for the conversation today, which I'm going to translate now for Qamar. I'm going to ask it to Qamar so we can start that and then I'll pick it up. So the question is about personal development. We hear about this concept a lot. Is a luxury? Is it a privilege? Is it something that is necessary or something secondary?
Okay. So personal development is something very interesting. It's very dear to me for many reasons, because I think if I talk from it from an Islamic point of view and from a working point of view and from day-to-day life, I think you'll see there's a lot of similarities. We as Muslims have to develop all the time. That means we have to develop spiritually, we have to develop our knowledge, we have to develop a deeper understanding of life, etc., etc. There's a journey of spirituality. And then you have the physical development. Everyone wants to be fit. Everyone wants to look after themselves. So you're personally developing physically. Mm-hmm. And then you have the work side. Again, these what you're developing in work is all personal skills that are to make you better. All three, across all three, they're all linked. Because if you do one, it impacts the other. Example, if you're training, going to the gym, you're able to go do a Hajj, which is fantastic. So I, mashallah, was fortunate to do Hajj in 23. And because of all the, because I was active looking after myself, I was able to do the tawaf properly. So that physical development is personal, but also links to your deen. Same with work. So my best example of personal development of work and deen, how it links, was something, empathy. Empathy is so overlooked, right? And empathy, we always think empathy is feeling sorry for someone. Empathy in sales means that you think from the other person's point of view. So that this happened to me. This happened to me 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I did a questionnaire online with a company, and they said to me, "You're really good, but empathy needs to work on." So that got me thinking. What does empathy mean in Islam? Mm-hmm. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one example was he was always empathetic. But one example was when he spoke to someone, he would turn their body towards him. That's a sign of empathy, that I am really interested in what you're saying. Mm-hmm. That triggered my journey of development. So what I'm trying to say is that your journey spiritually and your journey in work go hand in hand. And that links to everything else in life. So if you want to become a better Muslim, you have to become a better worker. If you become a better worker, it should impact your life as well. Mm-hmm. So that empathy, I brought it across into my day-to-day life. And then everything I learned from work, I try to link it back to Islam. So personal development is a must. If you want to become, you know, they say that you have that millionaire mentality, where CEO mentality, sorry, where you want to grow. You can only do that if you do it every single day. And that doesn't mean you earn lots of money. That just means you make a lifestyle that allows you to grow. And then when Allah wants, when your rizq is written, everything's rizq. There's no point in worrying about the money. You worry about how to get there. To get there, there's a process. The process is you develop as a person every single day. So my to answer your question, is very important.
Yeah, I'm speaking about empathy. You can see that I turned myself
towards you. Did, and I turned myself to you as well as soon as I said it.
That means I'm really listening in, and I absolutely agree with you that it is essential. But I think it's very important as well that we actually define what does this personal development actually means. This is key. I mean, you can get really philosophical, but I'm not into complicating things. I rather keep things simple.
Yeah.
So one of the simple, looking into the origin of development historically, personal development, generally, I'm not even talking about Islam yet, but generally, personal development is about the character, your values. That is the essence. Mm-hmm. Of development. Then for some reason throughout time and with the modern times now, this principle changed into just material development.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How you can show success, how you can have the appearance of success. And the argument is that when you change your environment, it changes your mind. But I think it also leads to a critical misunderstanding about the difference between what you can do and what you can do, what's in your control, what's not in your control. Mm-hmm. And that is the Islamic mindset. Subhanallah, now we take it to Islam religiously and Islamically. Personal development's got a name in Islam, is there, it's tazkiyatun nafs,
yes.
Purifying the soul. That is the essence. It's not just your personality, which is the character, it's even deeper. It's your heart, your soul, that needs to be purified. And at the essence of it, to know that you are a servant of Allah. You're not just out there randomly doing whatever you want. There is a purpose. Allah has created you for a purpose. And you need to serve that purpose. So you are a servant. Your mission is to find how you can be that best server of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
And to fulfill your vision. So in that essence, your personal development is knowing how can I extract what Allah has put in me, has instilled in me, all of these gifts, all of these ability to be His best server.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one thing I would add to that is that you're absolutely right, totally agree. One thing to add to that is that in if we look at it from a point of view, is if you have a career development, you cannot become a CEO when you just started working. You can if you're one in a million or whatever, but generally there's a strategy behind it. Mm-hmm. The growth strategy, even in Deen as well, is when we talk about religion, we're not expected to pray from day go. Age 10 or whatever, and then you build up from there. You know, you start practicing your fasting, etc. There's a journey, there's a process. Even if you look at all the Sahabas, everyone had a process in the journey to get somewhere. You're right in what you're saying. The world's changed the concept of growth, but still, if you look at it now, personal development, personal growth is becoming such a buzzword, and especially linking it to your what people are doing is linking it to day to day, not just work. So growth has always been there. It's just been defined differently. So it does link to everything that we do. And generally, if you want to succeed in any form of life, mm-hmm. be it football, be it career, be it your religion, you have to develop. You can't stay at the same level for the rest of your life. And naturally, you do develop, but you have to sometimes force it to keep that growth growing. Otherwise, you don't learn, you don't develop. You stay at the level that you're. So you're right in what you're saying. It's changed, it's evolved. But the journey as humans, we naturally have to grow to get to that next stage. And even if we want to get Jannah, for example, we're told what we need to do. We've got a book to follow, and then we've got the Sunnah to follow. Mm. It's told us what to do. And those books are starting to be kind of translated. People are using context out of it and into English books. If you want business growth, do this. If you want personal growth, do this. It's not far off what we're doing anyway, what we're told 1,400 years ago. So for me, you're right. Context has changed, but it's been there for a long time. It's just that now people have more knowledge and more awareness of what it looks like. Mm.
Yeah.
السؤال هنا حول كيف يمكن أن نمتلك المستقبل. طبعا لا تنتظروا مني أسئلة, يمكنكم أن تديروا الحلقة بأنفسكم, ولكن نحن يمكن أن نساعد في إعطاء تذكيركم بعض المحاور التي نحب أن نناقشها. مثلا كيف للشاب أن ماذا ينبغي أن يعمل ليمتلك المستقبل بدلا من بدلا من أن يجلس هكذا ويدع الرياح تهفه حيثما تشاء الرياح.
That's a brilliant question, which is what can the
أنا للأسف كانت السماعة مغلقة, أنا لم أكن في البث عندما تحدث, معذرة لهذا الخطأ الفني, لكن أعيد سؤال. I'll repeat the question. كيف يستطيع الشاب أن يمتلك مستقبله؟ الآن كثير من الشباب فاقدين البصيرة, لا يرى نفسه في المستقبل, يرى نفسه في اليوم فقط, حتى لا يرى نفسه أيضا غدا ماذا سيفعل وماذا سيعمل غدا. في الهامش يعيشون كثير من الشباب للأسف الشديد, رغم أن هذه البلد فيها الكثير من الأوبورتيونيتيز, الفرص وما إلى ذلك, لكن يظل هناك فراغا عميقا في الفكر وفي الوقت كذلك. كيف نستطيع أن نلفت نظرهم إلى أنهم يستطيعون أن يصنعوا مستقبلهم, shaping their future يعني, والذهاب إليه؟ تفضل.
As I said, that's a fantastic question. It's a very important one. How would the youth think about the future and owning their future instead of wasting their time now? You mentioned that they are stuck in the moment. I wish they are stuck in the moment. I wish we are all stuck in the moment. We are actually stuck somewhere else in the digital world, or not even in our place. I'll have an attempt in answering that question, which is, I think it starts with the mindset.
Mm.
I gave this analogy in Masjid Fatima the other day, that life is a river.
Mm-hmm.
It's a forceful river that is just flowing with force, and if you don't plan what you do, the river will just take you and throw you wherever it wishes. So your idea is to see, what do I need mm-hmm. out of this river, which mm-hmm. is life? Do I need to build a raft to go somewhere? Do I want to swim across it? Mm. Do I want to swim
and then return? Do I want to have some barbecue? Mm. And the youths and the youngsters that day, they gave really good examples.
Mm, they did, yeah.
Yeah, they gave really good examples, playing volleyball, doing all of these examples that they gave around the river. And that is the intention. Allah has given you that liberty for you to wish and see what abilities are instilled in you. So when you have that metaphor in mind, that I'm not going to let the river throw me around, I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to evaluate, what do I want to do? What capabilities do I have? And then make that decision. And then when you make that decision, you see, you ask Allah to bring what's within you. There is an ayah, subhanAllah, that I read it and it made a very big impression on me. I didn't understand it at first. It says, don't wish what Allah has gifted others. And ask Allah for the gift that He has put for you. And I said, well, what if I want the other person? Isn't that still asking Allah to give me a gift? But no, it's like asking if you can enter someone's castle with your key. You don't have their key. You don't have their circumstances. You don't have... you own it. This is a relationship and a journey between you and Allah. Now, this is why I really like when you said journey. The scholars used to say, knowing Allah and turning to Allah is a journey. Your priority is to die within that journey, because you're not going to reach it. Just die on that journey.
Absolutely.
So it is that. Taking it seriously, knowing that you are a server of Allah, there is no time to waste. You're not going to be throwing yourself away at the river of life. Make decision and do isti'ana in Allah to bring the potential within you. And Allah will guide.
Inshallah.
Yes, Mr. Qamar.
The river analogy, it was a good one last time as well, and this time, but I would go for the barbecue, I think. I would think I would do the barbecue. Alhamdulillah, no, you said, exactly, you made some very good points, but the way I would do it, it also depends on where the youth are, where it starts from. For me, charity starts at home. Right, everything starts at home, and everything starts from the parent before it goes to the child. So up to the age of 10, we have to start we have to start molding our children. We have to start molding them spiritually. We have to start molding them with a mindset of an attitude. And I go back to something, is it Salahuddin's story? He wasn't born a warrior. He was built up to be an educated person, and it led to everything afterwards. But he's people look at him, his journey, but if you look at his history, it's fantastic. It's all about education, improving yourself, learning. I think he had so many degrees. I don't know, I can't remember which ones he did, but I know he did, I think philosophy, I think, was one. So again, that tells you that was the leaders of the past, not just Muslim ones, even non-Muslim leaders. They were very, very, very educated, and also leaders as well. So for me, it all starts from home. Everything starts from home, the parents. Then the next stage is when we have to go back into history, and I always like to link it to religion, is that from the 10 guaranteed Jannah, they're all millionaires, right? There's nothing wrong with being a millionaire. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy. We as Muslims have been brought up with the mindset that you shouldn't be wealthy. It's not good. Money is fine if it's used in the right way, and it's earned the right way, and it's halal. And the halal doesn't mean is you save it correctly. You build up from the intention all the way to earning. So when the youth come out, they should realize we can be entrepreneurs. We can take over the world. Mashallah, yourself, entrepreneurship. There's nothing wrong with that. Go, you can do it. You can develop. But that doesn't start suddenly. That starts from a very young age. And I think the main thing is giving a child responsibility from a very young age and making them deal with money, making them have ideas, encouraging that. Once they get to that stage, I think the river analogy applies very nicely. Then you have to find that way. But ultimately, everything's written. Everything's preordained. Rizq, children, wealth, when you're going to live, how long you're going to live, when you're going to die, what car you're going to drive, what house you're going to have. All these things are written. The dua can change everything, but the reality is we have to put the effort in to get there. It doesn't come. And Allah expects us to do it the halal way, not the haram way. And what people want to do is get there the haram way. There's no point, because there's no barakah. You're not guaranteed anything. Or you're guaranteed temporary success, but not a long-term success. What our religion teaches us, and what work teaches us, is to go up on that journey, to become a CEO, follow that journey. Islam teaches a similar thing. So again, I think, adding to your point, it starts from home. Then the mindset has to change, and then from there, that mindset, they have to grow in a method that they can give. And that doesn't mean going to university, that doesn't mean education. They can become the best plumber in the world, but still doing the halal way, and they can grow the business from there. So it's not about education, it's about a strategy of growth.
طيب قبل أن نذهب إلى فاصل إعلاني قصير لدي سؤال ثم سنحاول أن نجيب على السؤال بعد الفاصل الإعلاني. تخيل أن أمامك شاب من شبابنا الموجودين في بلاد الغرب في بريطانيا على سبيل المثال، وهو محطم لا يعرف ماذا يفعل، أتى إليك وقف هكذا وقل لك أنا محطم، أنا مش قادر أعمل شيء، مش قادر أعمل شيء، ماذا ستقول له؟ ماذا سيخطر في بالك أول شيء لتنتشله من هذا الوضع وتضعه على الخطوة الأولى أو العتبة الأولى أو الفيرست ستيب ليصحح طريقه؟ اسمحوا لي أن نذهب إلى فاصل ثم نعود للإجابة على هذا السؤال.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
مرحبا بكم مجددا مستمعينا الكرام، أهلا ومرحبا بكم مستمعينا الكرام. نعود معكم لنستأنف حلقة اليوم وموضوع اليوم حول الشباب والتطور الذات أو تطوير الذات لدى الشباب هنا في بريطانيا، ونذكركم بأنكم تستطيعون أن تشاركوا في الحلقة وكذلك أن تضعوا أسئلتكم لضيوف الحلقة الأستاذ مازن والأستاذ قمر. تضعوا أسئلتكم وتتصلوا بنا على الهاتف رقم 0788-670-6116. مرة أخرى رقم الهاتف 0788-670-6116. وتستطيعوا أثناء الاتصال أيضا أن تتحدثوا عن تجاربكم الشخصية في المسائل التي أو التحديات التي واجهتموها مع أولادكم أو مع أنفسكم أنتم، إذا كان المتصل هو شاب أن يحدثنا عن تجربته الشخصية ونتحدث معا ونفيد الآخرين. نعود الآن إلى ضيفينا الأستاذ مازن والأستاذ قمر. وإذا تحبوا أن نذكركم بالسؤال أو
نعم،
السؤال شكرا. السؤال هو إذا أتى إليكما شاب وهو محطم ويقول أنا فقدت البوصلة ولا أعلم كيف أتجه ولا أين أذهب، لا أعلم، ليس لدي خطة حتى اليوم غد، ليس لدي خطة، فكيف ستنصحونه؟ تفضلوا.
جزاك الله خير أستاذ وجدي. The question is, if you met a youngster who is lost and feeling depressed. He doesn't know where to start or where to go. What words would you give to this youngster? So I forward that question to you.
Go to Imran's and buy a meal to fix all problems. yeah, exactly. Forget chocolate. Right, it all depends, I think, at what age they're at. I think if we're talking, let's say, high school age, which I think most children tend to get kind of lost. Before then, parents kind of support them. Mm. My advice would be to try to guide them from the point of view what Islam says. Is that when you're looking for something, it's usually you're looking for Allah, right? Guidance, all success, all everything comes. My mentality is that all success is from Allah. Every mistake we make is our failure, not Allah's. Allah tests us, we have a test, but failures is our own fault. So we have to be responsible. The first thing for success and growth and everything is you take responsibility of your actions. If you made a mistake, it's fine. Things that history teaches us, some of the biggest mistakes, mm-hmm. some of the biggest sinners became the best leaders. History's taught us that. Mm-hmm. Islamic history just keeps repeating that again and again. So you make a mistake 10 times, 20 times, you go back to Allah 20 times. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, that Allah, what they said, never leave Salah in any situation. Salah is the biggest thing. Forget the world. For me, the world is after. Naturally, you progress to that. My advice would be go back to your Salah and ask for forgiveness. We all make mistakes. Everyone in this room, everyone in this world, there's a we're mistake driven. It's human nature. We're not angels, right?
The children of Adam are wrongdoers.
We're wrongdoers. And I always say to people, Islam is such a strange religion logically because the more you struggle, the more you're getting closer to God. Logically, you think the more happier you are, the more relaxed you are, the more life is good. Not from a Muslim point of view. The Muslim point of view, you're meant to struggle.
Very key point. And when you said about the struggle, it's in the Quran, Allah said that the human journey is full of tribulation.
Yep.
And this tribulation... Is it okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So the tribulation, I guess what I would answer or what I would say to that youngster who is feeling depressed, feeling lost, I would say, why? Why are you feeling lost and depressed? Mm. Don't you know that you have Allah? Don't you know what Allah knows about you, what He has for you in terms of plans, in terms of rewards, in terms of love, in terms of mercy? Allah didn't bring you to this life so you can struggle. The tribulation are there to elevate you.
Absolutely.
So just remember that. That sadness that you have is longing to Allah.
100%.
That's what you have, is longing. And subhanAllah, when life is difficult, when you feel cornered, Allah is wanting you to return to Him. That's the signal. It's not a fix somewhere. It's not Imran.
It's not chocolate.
It's not chocolate. It's not that fix. It's going to Allah. And who finds Allah found everything.
SubhanAllah. It's so true. And you know what I find fascinating? If you speak to reverts, reverts always say there's a hole that Islam filled. We as Muslims, because we born in the religion, we forget we can have holes as well. And this is why we get lost. Not because society takes us lost. We get lost naturally. Shaitan's after us. We're humans. We're going to get lost. Allah's given us a different journey. Your journey is different to my journey. Right? Your journey is different to mine. So we've all gone different journeys, but we're all heading towards, inshallah, Jannah. Inshallah. We're all going to be neighbours in Jannah as well. Inshallah. And have a radio station there as well, inshallah. Inshallah. But what I'm trying to say is that I think we're all, getting back to Allah, as we both agree upon, everyone makes mistakes, and there's nothing to lose. The closer you get to God, the more you're going to succeed. The further you go away, the more you've got to lose. So for a child, if someone was lost, I would not say from a worldly point of view. I would comfort them from the point of view, you've made a mistake, it's normal, it's human nature. You've gone somewhere else for an addiction or something. Your addiction is deen, God, your addiction is Allah. Come back to that, start building up slowly. And then I would obviously, the key thing is they need support. that support mechanism. Is it the masjid? Is it the friend? Is it you? Is it me? It can be just one nice word and that person can change. So it's all about being, for me, it's all about positivity from the moment you start speaking to someone. And they can find their way. So having a positive, and the only way you can get positive, I believe, if you have hope. And if you have hope, you have more chance of success. And to develop that hope, there's only one way, as we can do it. We have to link ourselves into Allah.
Subhanallah. It is that. And the best of saying is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In his hadith, he said, amazing is the affair of the believer. Yeah,
absolutely.
If he is in tribulation, he's patient and he's rewarded. And he is, if he's in blessings, he's thankful and he's rewarded. So it's that mindset. A Muslim should not feel depressed. A Muslim should not feel, sadness is normal when you feel sad. Mm. But sadness is temporary.
Absolutely.
And it's a normal human emotion. What is the big problem, and you should understand the signal, when you feel this severe sadness or depression, it's a signal that you are going away. These are the alarm bells. I saying, go back to Allah. You are so astray. Mm. And then when you return to Allah, you need to stay close so you can keep that peacefulness or the feeling of peacefulness. Now, the big problem in our modern days, which I think is very important to highlight, is that there are two sets of rules for the creation here on earth. Mm. One set of creation is for the Muslims, and another is for the non-believers. You can't have the world with the rules of non-believers and be a Muslim. Mm. You can't. In order to win the world, you have to go by the rules of the Muslim. Otherwise, you rip off from Islam, and then the world will open to you as a non-believer, but you lose the hereafter.
Mm. Yeah.
So Allah will make the two laws or the two sets of rules will not work together. Every time you try to make success by scamming or by doing something that Allah prohibits and it's not the Muslim way, mm-hmm. then in the beginning Allah will make it difficult for you, and that may cause you to feel failure.
Mm.
But it's the right kind of failure, because you need to go back.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you are so stubborn in that way, then Allah will open for you. Will open for you the world of drugs, the world of the money comes in, because that's it. You choose your way.
Yeah.
And you are out of Islam. And a'udhu billah, this is where you need to look at the alarms and say, where do I stand?
Two points I just want to add to that is that you're exactly right, but the people forget that being, I always say this, you can be cool and be Muslim. You can dress well and be Muslim. Being Muslim doesn't mean you go away from society. You actually become much more positive impact of society, because your values, your morals are so much more higher. You actually become a very, very positive influence in society. So people shouldn't fear from being praying Salah, for example, at work. I pray Salah wherever I've gone. Mashallah, people give you a place and they see you differently. So being a Muslim, you're absolutely right that you can lose your way. But if you become a follow your deen, you actually pose a positive impact. You're not a negative impact like people make you out to be. That's fine. Everyone has a right to an opinion. And there's no problem with that. But Islam tells us the right way. Once you get into that journey, people get it. The other thing I will say is that when people get lost, I think a lot of people are fearful of crying. Tears are part of us as humans, and we've been given a time to cry. Mm-hmm. In sujood and also at the hajjat time and any dua time. We're allowed to cry. People think to be strong and to deal with problems, you don't cry. You should cry. Tears are a form of like your sins are forgiven. You're actually connecting with God. You talk, and when you cry, you mm-hmm. actually talk to God. So whoever is struggling in life,
mm-hmm.
don't, men especially, we're the worst, right? We cry. At the hajjah time, what's wrong with crying at the hajjah time? It's between you and God, right? Or even at the dua time, we're told if you can't cry, pretend to cry, simulate crying. Because it brings that connection with God, and we're all supposed to be talking to God all the time. So I will say to people is that people can't fix problems, but Allah can fix problems. But you can't cry, don't cry in front of everyone, cry in front of Allah. All these things add up to that hope, to that success, to find that way, everything that you're saying, it links back. So being a man doesn't mean you can't cry.
Mm.
You know, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we've heard records of him, we've got records of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam crying. So it's not, masculinity isn't hiding your tears. Masculinity is controlling your emotions when, obviously, things get difficult. And that's probably, anger, obviously, is one of them. But that's a different story. But yeah, they're the two points I wanted to add to what Mazen was saying, is that, you know, these two things add to the rest of the journey.
طيب هل لكم أن تعطيان المستمع الكريم بعض قصص فيها الشباب استطاعوا أن يغيروا مسار حياتهم واستثمروا في مواهبهم وقدراتهم، استثمروا، كانوا عاجزين ثم انتشلوا أنفسهم، هل هناك قصص صادفتموها؟ يعني
yes.
حتى وإن كانت تخصكم أنتم، يعني أنت عن نفسك يعني حدثت معك أو مع
it's the human nature, right? We learn from each other's experiences and from stories. The question here is, do we have any stories of people who were struggling, or they were unsuccessful in life, or even in faith, and then they changed their life, they yes. turned around, whether it's from people we know or stories from ourselves. If you can start.
Yeah, yeah. I think the reason you and me have connected, we get on so well, is because we've been on our individual journeys, and we see how life and how life has treated us, and how we've got closer to God in that journey. So my own journey is the fact that whatever I've gone through, it's brought me closer to Allah. You know, I've had injuries, I've had financial challenges, everything, you name it. Everything that Allah says in the Quran, that's going to happen to every one of us, right? Fear of wealth, loss, health, etc. But, and the growth has been there. I think one of my best examples was one of my close friends that actually, the way he was as a young guy is typical kind of misguided. Mashallah, he worked on himself. He understood what he needed to do. And the thing was, the main thing he did was get closer to Allah. Then he became successful in the businesses that he's doing. He's got, mashallah, a family. He's got three children. When I talk about examples, I like to give my example, because rather than other people's examples, it can be distorted a little bit, because you can be a bit biased. My own example, my own journey of life is that from the age of 20 to the age of now, I've developed so much as a person. And in that journey, I've had all sorts of losses, gains, successes, failure. I don't think the problem is that. I think the issue is, how as humans do we deal with everything? You will have success, you will have failure, business success, business failure. When I got made redundant in 2008, I just got married, right? I just got married the first time. Then 3 months later, I lost my job. 3 months later, I had to, not even 2 months later maybe, the house, I was living in Warwickshire, I had to leave, come back to Sheffield. So I've never left since. And then I had a knee operation, so I couldn't work for nearly a year and a half. Now, in that time, I did itikaf twice, in those 2 years or so. Again, you see, Allah took me from to another. I would never have done itikaf in the masjid for 10 days otherwise. After that, I did it 3-4 times. After that, we were 10 brothers that did it regularly for 4-5 years. That relationship built. So on the back of that, Allah blessed me with my first daughter, Maryam. And you know, they say when your children come, rizq comes.
Yes.
I had 2 job interviews offered, one job straight away. On that day, I went into sujood in the hall, and they're like, "What the heck are you doing?" You know. So again, with every difficulty comes ease. Not after every difficulty. That taught me a lesson. The other lesson I got taught was, I was going to buy an MR2 sports car, right? The one with pop-up lights. Red, silver alloy wheels, black leather. I was in love with the car. I was like really excited. Just the day I was going to buy it, the deal broke through. The guy just changed his mind. I was really upset because I saved up, I don't know, £5,000 or whatever it is maybe. This was 2006. In the end, I ended up buying a Honda Civic, which was a sports car as well, the one I bought. Subhanallah, that car was more beneficial to me than a two-seater. You know, what I'm trying to say is, but that taught me a lesson is, don't get too excited until something's in your hand. You know, when you've got it, then you can say, okay, khalas, alhamdulillah, I've got it. Until that point, anything can happen. So what these examples give you is that it's not the problem, it's how you deal with it. It's how you react. Do you react with emotions, or do you react calmly? And do you get closer to Allah? Do you get further away? Do you question? Do you doubt? Why me? Why owes me? Or do you go, okay, Qadr, it's happened. I've learned to realize, okay, it's Qadr, it's happened. Let's keep growing. And one last point. I can talk more than Mazin, unfortunately. Sorry, bro. I'm going to take you. One last point. One of the biggest things I learned in the last 10 years is Inna Nillahi wa Inna Ilahi Rajun. The meaning of that, really. It's not just to say when someone dies. You say it every time you're in that moment of patience, lack of patience. So stuck in traffic, running late for a meeting. Mustn't end up late, you know, stuff like that. No, what I'm saying, trying to say, is that that's so powerful, that word. So that's what that's one of the things I learned on my own journeys as well.
Really, really good story. And subhanAllah, I think in this day and age, we all share the same stories. And you said maybe personal stories resonate more because it's coming straight from the heart. Yeah. I've got plenty of stories of people that I've seen them turn their way around. Some people they knew they'd been selling drugs, or where they turned their life around, and mashallah, now they have a family, respectful family, respectful job in the mosque, in the masjid. Subhanallah, it's so beautiful to see. It's a lesson when you can see the juxtaposition of the two situations, one without or far from Allah, and one with Allah. It's a completely different person. And I want to emphasize that, subhanAllah, in this day and age, the war is psychological. It's attacking everyone. It's a world of distraction, a world where we are sold so many dreams. And as they say, in order to follow a dream, you need to be asleep. And this is what everyone now is distracted and being asleep psychologically. And a moment of awakening came to me when I came back to Allah with an intention and with a strong heart. So before that, I was really fed, even growing in Medina. And not only me, I know my friends as well and my peers at that time. We were bombarded by this modern culture that is... It's telling us the dream that you need to mingle with women, you need the nice cars, this is how success is, like you need to do all of this kind of image that is not really Islamic. And you think this is the only way to succeed. But then you don't even pursue it. It's not necessarily pursue it, but it's in your subconscious. And then you are in a point of limbo where you're not here and nor there, so stuck. Until one of my sheikhs, this is the point where it really changed my life. The sheikh said, simplify things. Look at the essence of your life. The human life is built on two axes. The axis, one axis of gain, and the other axis of bringing good, and the axis of preventing bad or pushing bad. This is the axis of life. This is what we want. We want good and we want to prevent bad. That's how we are. So he said, this is Tawheed. This is La ilaha illallah. Allah in his hand, good and bad.
SubhanAllah. So true.
So if something is bad in your life, it's from Allah. And it may be from your sins or whatever, but you need to understand this is, there is a wisdom in this and you need to understand it. If things are going well, it's not because you're smart. It's not because you are doing that good job. It's because Allah's got wisdom in this. So every time, circle back and go to this. Am I in good or bad? Am I patient or am I thankful?
الحقيقة نحن الآن أزف الوقت يعني وأتينا إلى نهاية الموضوع لكن بصراحة أنا أشوف أنه لدينا أسئلة كثيرة ولديكم في الكثير والكثير لتعطوه وأستطيع إذا سمحتم أن أخذ منكم موعدا لنعيد الكرة مرة أخرى ونتحدث أكثر في القضايا التي لم نتحدث فيها هذا اليوم تسمحونا
Inshallah.
So we are now finishing, okay, unfortunately, but we will do it again and again in the future if you don't mind.
Inshallah, that's
it would be a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure.
جزاكم الله خير. By the way, أنا أشكر الأستاذ مازن مساعد والأستاذ قمر خان لمساهمتهما في شرح كثير قضايا ومواضيع تتعلق بتطوير الذات. في كثير أسئلة لا زالت لدينا نود أن نسألها معهم نبحثها معهم ولكن الوقت لم يسعفنا. أشياء كثيرة لدينا، الإمكانيات المتوفرة في هذا البلد، الإمكانيات الكبيرة والفرص، الفرص الكبيرة موجودة في هذا البلد، كيف نستطيع أن نستخدمها؟ هذه الأمور سنبحثها في حلقة قادمة إن شاء الله، سنحدد الموعد ونبحثها في حلقة قادمة. كذلك موضوع السوشيال ميديا، كيف نسخرها تسخير صحيح، وهل هي benefiting تفيد أولادنا وإلا أن لا تفيدهم؟ هذه الأمور نريد أن نقف أمامها في المستقبل. في الحقيقة أشكركم شكر الجزيل، وأشكر كذلك مستمعين الكرام لحسن الاستماع، ونذكركم بأن موعد حلقتنا هو يوم الخميس أو مساء الخميس من الساعة 7:05 حتى 8:00. حتى ألقاكم، وقبل ذلك نأخذ كلمة أخيرة من الأستاذ مازن وكذلك من الأستاذ محمد، دقيقة بدقيقة تقول كلمة أخيرة وسوف ننهي
بارك الله فيك الحلقة. بارك الله فيك أستاذ وجدي، ومشكور جدا على الاستضافة. I'm really really thankful for this opportunity. We've been really excited. We tried to keep it from the heart to the heart, and I hope it resonated with the listeners. And don't forget us from your du'as.
شكرا.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate the moment, and thank you for giving us this opportunity. And as Mazin says, really excited. One thing is, if you take one thing from what we've said, alhamdulillah, we've done our job. And the key thing is that my thing was hope. Always live in hope, no matter what happens. And may Allah bless everyone and keep us in your du'as.
Shukran gazilan. Wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.